Kalim Perek Tesvav Mishnah Vav. Nivlei Hashoro Tmein. A navel is a kind of a navel is a musical instrument, and it's a string instrument, sort of like a harp, but that's a kinor. So this is something similar. And the girsa that we have in front of us is Nivlei Hashoro, which means a navel, this instrument that helps a person sing. It's more in the verb form. The other way to say it, you look at the Rav's gear, says Nivlei Hashiro, ones that are used for music. The word novel could just be used for something that has an opening, and it could be used for storage. So this would be a way of saying Nivolim that are not used for storage, they're used for playing music. Vinishvi de Tmeim, the question is why? What exactly are they used for? And the Mefarshim explain is that people would play money for music. You have it today, street players. And they would put the money inside the music. Couldn't they do it today also? They put it inside the musical instrument. And that's why it has a clay kibble, mekabel tumah. V'nivle b'nei Levi, the nevolim that were used exclusively by b'nei Levi that are used in the Beis HaMikdash, ta'irim, because they don't put anything inside. They're not playing for money, obviously. Kol ha-mashkim t'meim. We switch over to something else. Other dinim of tumah, that there's a difference between a dover sheba migdosh and something bagvulin, where even though they would be similar, they're still mechalik. So that has absolutely nothing to do with Maseches Kelim. Kol ha-mashkim t'meim, all of the seven liquids, yad shoch adam, that are part of the what's called a mashke in the Torah. We're not learning Maseches Machshirin or Trumas, but just to delineate. Yayin, dam, shemen, cholov, tal, dvash, umayim. There is a Mishnah in Trumas where there's discussion about mei peiros. The Maase of the Rambam paskins that the other mashkim are not mekabel tumah. The Rabbi holds even mei peiros is mekabel tumah. Al kabbalim, that's not really our noise. Whatever the mashke in question is, tmeim. This is an ancient terminology. This was the term that was used in the Aramaic, that was used in the Tkufa of Bayesheni. It's not the regular Loshna Mishnah, but the Nusach was preserved from a Sugi and Psochim, the Sugi of Chaninik and Eskana Koenim. Then Mashke Meis Mitbachayo means the place where there was Shchito, Beis HaTvicho. What it means is the dam or other mashkios that were in the Azorah were not mitame tohirin because they didn't want to be mefits, they didn't want to be marbet tumah. Now, what the nusach that we just used it would sound like tumas mashkin is the rabbonon, so they weren't goyzer. This is really a subject of a discussion in the sugi of Skana Kainim, which is in Psachim Daf Yud Zayin. And over there, the shittas go like this. The Gemara says B'shem Rav Popo that Mashke outside of Beis HaMikdosh is Mekabel Tumah Deraisa, and Halachal Moshe Mesinai that Mashke in the Azor is not Mekabel Tumah. What's the Hezbeh that happened? Listen, according to Rav and Shmuel over there, we're not Mechalik in Deraisa. The Chilik is Derabonon and B'chdei Loi Lahab is Tumah V'Azor. That's where they were in Goyzen. According to one sheet in the Gemara over there, another regular mashkin in Zorah would be metame. What's the shayla? The shayla is only over there on being metame acherim, which a mashke has a koyach to go back in shafa rishon, which we've discussed numerous times, a teshafa a rishon l'tumah, instead of becoming a sheni l'tumah. So a mashke could be metame other things that normally wouldn't be metame deraisa. On that, we're mechalik between mashke meis mitvachai and other places. The other pshat would be that the mashke meis mitvachai that we're talking about is dafke dam of karbonis. We don't see that as mashke to be mitame. Kol ha-svorim mitame sayadayim. Svorim in this context refers to sifrei Tanakh. The mitame sayadayim. Why should a sefer Torah or a sifrei Nevi'im be mitame yadayim to santa maisa? There's a gzeres chachomim that they were going to tumas yadayim, which means he would have to wash netilas yadayim if he would want to eat afterwards or eat truma. The gzeri was in santa maisa, the mishnah zovim elsewhere. Yodayim of a person are metame derabonon shnius. They put on the status of a person's hands that touched kisve kodesh, the status of tumah, because they used to store truma etzel kisve kodesh for whatever reason. And Mamela, in order that person shouldn't touch this, be metame that, there were guys even on kisve kodesh that should have a din tumah. So kol asvar metame se yodayim. Chutz mi sefer hazara, except for a sefer Torah that's in the Beis Hamikdash, that they weren't koyel. The sefer hazara is the sefer Torah that was written by Moshe Rabbeinu, and it was held for hundreds of years by the Kehanim, and it was used as the sheirish of all shailas and meseris with Tagin and other shailas that could come up. This was the ultimate authority. That means it's a bazunda sefer Torah shel Moshe, which is entrusted b'yad ha-koyanim, which is the nemonus on the Mesirus of Torah. It wasn't used for learning. It was used just as a bulwark, as a shayrish of Mesirah. That being said, there's no kshash on it, so they weren't geyser. Others tiny that Sefer HaZora is not the Sefer Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu, because that mistama was Nignaz at the end of Bayis Rishon. But what we're talking about is the Sefer Torah of Ezra Sefer. And that sefer was used for the same purpose. Mele Baita was nichlal in the Gzeru. Now the Mishnah goes back. These are several musical instruments that the Mishnah wants to tell us their status vis-a-vis Tumah. Hamarkoiv. This is some type of wooden horse that says that they used to use for riding on. It was a psatoi. Tohor. Tamekabal Tumah. It's not mekabel tumah. The chiddush over here is not that it doesn't have a clay kibbutz, it's not used for anything. But also that it's not metame, even though children would write on it, that's not considered oimid lemedris. Medris is even something that doesn't have a shame kli otherwise, but it's made l'rechiva, l'shchiva, l'yeshiva, so that itself would be a gedder of a dove hametame. This not. Habatnun is something related to the word beten. It's some type of musical instrument that they would lie down, they would put on their stomach, or they would use, it would lean on a person's stomach. Vaniktemoin is some type of musical instrument. I guess doime to somebody who's niktemo raglov, somebody who has a false leg. This looked like that. It's nikral shmoi. Va'erus, erus is some type of drum or some type of something to beat on. Harelu b'tamim, they have a Beis HaKibul, and again, the menagnim, the people who play music, could put coins or other chafetzim inside. Reb Yehuda ayme ha'erus tami moishev. It's mekabel al tumas medris, because a zov or a nida could lean on it, could sit on it. Mepnei shu'al ha'ay lo yis. Ayolis is a woman who's mikonenes. You find in Moed Kotten, they would hire women by Levayis to let out a crying sound to be ma'ar the olam to bechi. So the Ayolis was this woman, Yosheves Alov, and because that's Omid Liyeshiva, if it's Omid Liyeshiva, it's Tommy Tomas Medris. Mitsudas Hachulda, Tmeo, Mitsudas Hachulda is a trap for mice. Pashas Hachulda is a regular mouse. V'shalach borim, what we would call rats, obviously mice, rats, they belong to the same family, it's two different types, tohira. Now Chazal are not prejudiced against mice or rats specifically, so clearly over here there's a difference in the tzuras hakli. The Rav says that tmeya by chuldo sheyesh aleh tzuras hakli, mashenkelim tzutzach, but why? Obviously one of them has more of a tzura of holding on to something, one's just a piece that gets the tail of the achbar, whatever it is, its foot stuck, but doesn't really have a tzuras hakli. Now there is a knetch over here. What exactly does that mean, tzuras hakli? Kli, it's a little bit vague. You look at the Rambam in Hilchus Kelim over here, in Perikei Halacha Dal, it sounds like we're talking about pshute kli, it doesn't have a kli kibul. There's something called a tzuras hakli. Tzuras hakli is something that looks functional. So Kanir Pshute Kli Eitzah not Mekabel Tumah, it's Derabbanan. Chazal were geyser on something that has some type of tzura as having a usage of a kli. Something that just looks like a flat piece of wood. Even if it does something very useful, such as catching rats, but it doesn't have a tzura of a kli, they weren't geyser. Others are not as clear on this point. Rav doesn't speak this out. The Rosh doesn't sound that way. The Bazunda Zach called Tzura Zakli. Not clear what that means. If you look at the Goyin has an extra knetch here. The Goyin says that the Shel Chulda could be considered a clay kibble because one might need the Chulda itself. Not just to get rid of mice, nobody wants mice in their house, but because he wants the mouse for Or HaChulda, for the skin of the Chulda. I don't know exactly what that's used for. All you want to do is kill it, to get rid of it, because it's destructive. You look at the Rash and the Rav before in Mishneh, earlier, and over there by Rachas Shel Gronois, it has a clay kibble. It's also Lashlachah Tzanim, even though it's not meant to hold on to it. It's like what we'd have on Shabbos, the Hagdoro of Meloch Shein Tzuchel Leguf. Over here also, you have the base kibble for the Chatzanim to get rid of them. You don't really want the Chatzanim. And over there, we do look at it as a clay kibble. So what you'll have to say, says Mishnah Staharis, is that over there, it's meant to be Mekabel. I'm going to ask to throw out. Over here, you're not even trying to be mekabel the achba, you're just trying to hold it in place to get rid of it. Holding on to something, even though you don't want the thing itself, you want to hold on to it in order to dispose of it, is considered a clay kibble. Holding on to it just in order to trap it, but not really to hold on to it, is not called a clay kibble. So it's very subtle, that difference in nuance. Good. Perek Tazayin. Kol kliyot shenechlak l'shnayim tor. We're continuing our limud of the dinim of kliyot. Shvirois, a kliyot that's nishbar, nechtak, nishbar, and it's broken into two pieces, is tor. The pieces are not meant for usage. The Goyin says that this is not stam a chazorah on dinim that we've had many times about shvirois of kliyot of other dinim of kabbalah. What the Goyin points out is that we do have a din where things that are broken into two, if the two have some type of minimal use, they would be considered still kelim. That's the halacha. We called it a gistro. Loshon of Chazal in the second perek, legabi kli cheres. Minimal usage, just some type of minimal kli kibble, would be enough to be considered a kli with a toichetz mekabel tumah. Not so by kli eitz. The bar is higher. So the Mishnah says over here that be'etzem as a rule of thumb, it's nechlak l'shnayim, even if it has some basic use, it's tohor, except for something which is mamish avekishtot, that the broken into two is fully functional. The examples that the Mishnah gives is chutz mishulchan ha'kofel. This is a table that has different parts, leaves, it unfolds. Anything that's osir leprokim means it has different pieces that can be put together. It breaks, but lamaisa, it was meant to be used, the different pieces, sometimes one without the other. So the piece itself, let's say it doesn't click in anymore. The part that connects the pieces, is broken. Okay, so it is what it is now. So that's considered a fatiga kli. Tamchoy ha-miznoin, this is some type of tray, which again has different sections. So maybe if it's broken, the section itself was designed as that. Yeah, it's rather a tray with five compartments, useful. It's better, it's more sophisticated like that, but each part itself definitely is functional. It's designed to be that way. V'cheinu afifon shel bal habayis, this is some type of chair, again, which the pieces are put together. Each one is a perek bifnei atzmo, each one has a tzuras hakli, and each one is roi to sit on. Rabbi Yehuda oimer af hamoges v'koid habavli. These are types of trays, the Rav says. Ko'oro shaleitz, b'makto bezuya. He brings different examples from, he brings the Lashon of Apostle. Even though they're broken into pieces, each one has a tzuras hakli. Kanir Reb Yehuda Oimer means that his day of the Tanakam is Namaskim, but the etzem idea, l'chor is shov l'chol nefesh. What it means is that there's a piece over here that even though it's a piece, it still functions onto its own. That's why it has a shem kli. Kliyot me'emesei mekablin tumo. We're talking over here about the kliyot which does need a gemar. Golmei kliyot is not mekabel tumo. When is it considered a farta gezach? The reason why this is in the same Mishnah is because we were talking before about the back end. When is a kli that's broken still roi l'shimush b'midim mesuyem? So here is when is it roi l'shimush. Hamito v'ariso, the roi l'kabel tumo, mito is a bed, ariso is like a crib. When they smoothed down with the oradag, that was the finish. It was a fish skin. Gomar Shaloi Loshuv. He decided, he was machlit, to leave it with a rough finish, without finishing it off. Tmeil. The shells, it's missing a finish. You decide that you're not doing the finish. You're going to sell it for cheaper. It's worth it for you to not finish, to just sell it as is. So then I'm out there, it's been a couple too. Me'oim ha'mito. Mishisog b'shloisha batim. It has to be strung together. The bed, the mattress, wasn't just a frame, but there were pieces that were held across. This way the mattress could go down on it. So it needs that the strings should be the sirugim should go across. They put ropes across. You go to a museum, you can see what an old bed looked like. And the ropes held up the mattress that was put down. Three batim means three rows. They crisscrossed the ropes to be able to hold up better. Three batim is three rows of fully formed. That's enough of the shear of a mito. Even if it's not the whole bed, it's at least something, and it's already considered a mita kayama. So that's what would be makabaltum. Now, for a few points to mention. One point on the kliyat shenechlek l'shnayim tohar. As a statement, it's not so poshut. You look at the Mishnah Akraina, he brings raid that we've had before in Perek Yud Beis Mishnah Vov. There's a loch over there of tavlo shenechlek l'shnayim tohar. And the question is over there, if it's broken into two parts that are not equal, one piece is bigger, one piece is smaller, the smaller piece is considered not more than Shvire Kliyates, the bigger piece is considered still the Kliyates. So why does the tumor fall off? Over there we learned that it doesn't. And there's a Meduber, the Rambam, over there we had a Riven Idius, that the discussion is that they were broken into two equal parts. It's not clear, one of them is bigger, one of them is smaller, they're never going to be exact because you have Shalat Samtzim. Tavlo is pshute kliyetz. It's only mekabel derabon. It's a sofik derabon, and you go lekulo. Over here, we're talking about a proper kli. So we're talking about a proper kli. What's the medubah? Why nechlek l'shnayim over here? Why shouldn't they both be tame? So the Mishnah Achroino brings down over here that be'etzem when it's broken, both parts don't have a proper kli kibul. So it's not pshute kliyetz. It's tam, something broken without a kli kibul. So mel is not mekabel tuma. So again, it's pshute kliyetz, derabonon, that's why you have this din. Another discussion over here in the Rash is that there's a halacha. We had the Mishnah, mita v'arisa, mishashi shofun bar adag, that's considered the finish. Vaistes without the finish, not a kabel tuma. What happened to the din of gulme kliyetz, that anything that you're going to be mashlim, even if it's only gomim, it's not a finished product, it's mekabel tuma. See, he says that over here, it's a step before that. Over here, the finish over here is to get rid of any splinters that are on it. It's not just a finish. It's literally not usable. So I got it. It's not even a step before. So until that step before, that's when it becomes oimid for the finish. Over here, it's even less than that. That's what the Rash says. You have to make a new kimta that it's two steps before. Lemaisa, when you look at the Rambam Pirush Mishnayis over here, it doesn't sound that way. The Ran Nedorim Agav brings this din in Nedorim Daftun Vov. Amid Beis, he also doesn't sound like we're talking about two steps before Gemara. So it's Gomer Kliyetz. So there's a very big Chiddush over here that Mishnah Staris brings down from the Mikdash Dovid in Siman Nun Beis. And he says a sweeping Chiddush that the Aloch of Gomer Kliyetz one step before, it's Amid L'Gemara, so it's Mekabel Tumo, is only when we're talking about a regular Kli, a bottle, a pitcher, etc., etc. When we're talking about a bed, we're talking over here about something which is mekabel tumas medris. Tumas medris is a different type of tumah. The shame tumah of being roi lishchiva, that it's a mishkav, the halacha is that anything that's going to reach a gemar is still not going to be mekabel tumah. The lashon of Chazal is, by a medris, when is it oimid lishchiva? Shelo yehe oimrim lo yamoid v'nase melachteinu. Whenever it's oimid lihigomer, it does not yet have the shame shchiva, and memela, even the one step before, doesn't have a loch of gomer kliyetz. It's not so geschmack this word, because the loch in the Mishnah is kliyetz meim zem kabel tuma. Sounds like a clown kliyetz, doesn't sound like a specific in tumas medrus. So another shayla, Mishnah's Tyrus asks Akasha, we've had before the definition We had in the previous parak this mishamshei adam. Pshute kli eitz, if it's mishamish adam, then it's mekabel tumah. So lama zog the bed is not yet roed l'shchiva, but it's mishamshei adam. You have to say that the shame Misham Shadam is also totally in it being a fatig zach. If it's pshutik, it doesn't have that shame either. Okay, it's a little bit of a tzorchin over here.